connecting to the real nerds is so easy. You can go to our website, realnerdspodcast.com. You can like us on Facebook. We have a Twitter account, at Real Nerds. We also have Instagram. You can call us, 720-6NERDS5. You want to email us? You can do that too, realnerds@gmail.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to Denver Comic Con 2016. We have a fantastic interview lined up for you. Enjoy.
All right, we are live here again on the floor, day two at Denver Comic Con 2016. And I am joined here with Dr. Katie Monin, who you are a comic book writer teaching kids about how to write comics.
Yeah, how to write comics, how to read comics, how to generate their ideas, everything like that, yes.
This is an awesome idea. How long have you been working on this?
I have 8 books about teaching comic books and graphic novels, and I have been at the University of North Florida writing those books in 8 years, so I'm a little tired now. I wrote it, and I got tenure, so, you know.
There you go.
It was worth it.
As long as you got tenure, I think you're yeah. you're taken care of for the rest of time.
Right.
Well, that's fantastic. So when you were a kid, were you big into comics? How did this idea come about?
Not at all. And, you know, the book I have given in front of you is called Teaching Reading Comprehension with Graphic Texts, and it tells the story of how I got into it, but I'll briefly cover it for you here.
Awesome, yeah.
You guys can find it on Amazon if you want. But anyways, I was never into comics and graphic novels. I was getting my master's, and one of my friends was like, hey, dude, you totally need to read this book. And I looked at it, and it was Mouse by Art Spiegelman.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, no, dude, I'm not reading that. It's a comic book. It's not really reading. I thought I was really smart, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wanted to read Austin and Dickens and think I was really intelligent. So anyways, I decided I'd take it home and put it on the shelf and politely in a month give it back and say, oh, thanks, that was a great read. But I'm a little superstitious, so one day when I'm cleaning, and I'm a cleanaholic, the book fell and hit me on the head, and I thought, I should probably read this
Clearly
thing.
This is a sign.
Yeah, it's a sign. So I read it. And my whole world changed, and my whole entire career path changed, and it talks about that at the beginning of the book. So I went on to get my doctorate in teaching literary level comic books and graphic novels from early readers all the way to high school and college and adult.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And it's interesting that it was Mouse. Mouse is a book that in college courses now is getting its way into the canon.
That's right. Yes,
I was an English major, so
I was too.
It was a book that like that was the one. I was an English major, but I was also a comic book fan at the same time. So I had the opposite effect. So I would see them bring out Mouse, and I'm like, oh, stop pandering to me! Like,
right.
Come on, you're trying to be cool, so you bring out Mouse. Like, oh, we got. But it is. It's a great book.
Yes.
But it's interesting that it reached you on that level.
Yeah, I mean, it changed my whole life. And even, you know, I actually ended up, I was so fortunate that Francoise Millie, Art Spiegelman's wife, is awesome, an amazing woman. She just won an international award. I can't remember what it was called, but she's just amazing.
Yeah.
Anyways, I had a chance to meet her, and she set me up with working with her Toon Books for early readers, which she and Art started.
Cool.
They wanted to start early. They wanted teachers and educators and librarians to start teaching kids at an early age, not just picture books, but how do I read a comic book at an early age and then grow into a young adult comic books and graphic novels, so on and so forth. Nobody was publishing early reader comics for the classroom.
Yeah.
So I had a chance to meet Art as well, and we became friends, and, you know, he is one of the nicest men I've ever met in my entire life. He randomly sends me, like, the coolest stuff signed, and, you know, like, he's just a great guy, and I would encourage everybody who deals with early readers to go check out toonbooks.com. They have classroom lesson plans and all that stuff for you right there.
That's fantastic. So when you decided that you were going to, you know, create books for kids to help them with to teach them comics, what angle did you start with? Did you start with teaching them to read through comics? Did you start them with teaching how to read comics or how to make comics?
Well, during my doctorate, a lot of the research that I found was around the idea of, and I think it still is, we're moving out of it, but it's still mostly this. The idea in the education world is comics and graphic novels are great. Use them in your classroom. But the gap in the research was nobody was saying how to teach them, which is what you're asking
me. Yeah, exactly.
So I decided, and, you know, that's what your doctoral mentors want you to do. Where's the gap in the research? You fill that gap. You find your niche, and you go.
Right.
So my books talk about breaking down comics, deconstructing them like panels, gutters, and how to read the different types and label them and understand them the same way you would a literary level text that's
Absolutely.
Just print text. And then also align them to the standards, because even though I'm not the biggest fan of the standards, they're a reality right now. And as educators, we need to know how to align comics and graphic novels to the standards so that we can say to administrators and other educational right. stakeholders that these are valuable literary yes. level texts for young adults and for early readers.
You gotta fit everything into the box so that the old fogies understand what.
Yes.
Like, oh, they, once they buy in, then you go blow up the box.
That's right.
And then they're like, oh, okay, this
that's
is
right.
It's the same way you do it with every other medium.
Yes, my box definitely. Well, that sounded wrong.
I didn't notice either.
Anyways, yeah, what I did was take stuff outside of the box, put it back in,
yeah.
and then I left the box open to come back out again.
Absolutely.
That's what I hope my books do.
That's really cool. So so you're teaching them, you know, how not just, you know, because I think that most educators, they're going to look at it and go like, oh, okay, well, it's reading because there's words on the page, but there's actually a lot more going on there.
Right.
And if you can transcend just, okay, you're bringing words into your brain and get to, no, there's storytelling in between the words here. That's
yeah.
what, it's what's different about books and comics is that the storytelling is in the page layout and the art and the way that it moves and how the size of the panels and how frequently you use two-page spreads and all
That's
of that
right.
stuff that is stuff that, like, honestly, educators today probably have no idea how to actually talk about, right?
That's exactly, well, and I like to tell people, you know, if you read just the print text in a comic book or a graphic novel, you have half the story.
Yeah.
If you read just the images, you have half the story. But if you read them together, you have the full literary level story. So what we're doing right now, and I was on a podcast a couple of years ago, and I said, what's happening in the 21st century is we have a shared literacy stage. In the past, it was the star of the show was print textbooks. But now we're such living in such a more visual world, we have to teach print textbooks and visual textbooks.
Right.
So I call it the Brangelina stage of literacy learning. And so like a podcaster, he advertised the podcast, and he morphed a picture of me between Brad and Angie, and I hope Brad and Angie appreciated that, because I sure did. I never knew I was going to get a photo with them, but I did.
Absolutely. That's too funny. Was it difficult when you decided that you were going to start building this, was it difficult to get the research about like what those standards are and how that storytelling works? Because I feel like, with the exception of Scott McCloud, I don't know that there are a lot of people who are really digging into how do comics work, why do they work. I think a lot of it is like, not ethereal knowledge, but it's like carnal knowledge that artists and creators have and that they've learned over the years.
Yes.
And they teach it to each other, but there isn't anybody like critically on the outside really breaking it down that I know of. Is that right?
Yeah. Scott McCloud and I are friends, and
oh, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Sorry,
too.
Sorry, I just nerded
yeah,
out for
a
second.
Yeah, he's a great guy too.
Yeah.
And yeah, he and I are kind of a little bit different in that he's talking to sort of everyone about
right.
that, and I'm talking to educators. So I've built
yeah.
off his work and angled it a little bit differently. I would also say that, you know, if you go to the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, they'll do a lot of education about the same
oh, cool.
thing that we're talking about right now.
Okay.
There are a lot of people out there doing it. If you go on Amazon and you search my name and you don't like my books, that's fine. You know, everybody has a right to their opinion. But it also suggests books that are similar, and you'll see the other people who are talking about comic books and graphic novels the way Scott McCloud and I are.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I feel like that is a thing I just haven't been exposed to very much. I think a lot of the criticism in the space is from, I mean, jerks like me, right? Some dude with a mic who's talking about what he likes and what he doesn't, and I may throw out little things where I'm like, oh, I thought this was really cool, right? I can talk about issue 15 of Lock and Key and the way that the panels are lined up and how amazing it is, but I'm not necessarily like there isn't a oh my gosh, on a movie podcast I can't think of this guy's name, man, the number one film critic of all time who just died in the last couple of years, everyone who's listening is screaming at me, Ebert.
Yes,
there is no Ebert in the space who is writing these long, you know, critical prose about what's really happening. And maybe there is, I just haven't seen them. I think it's the space is so full with, like, guys who, you know, we know what we're talking about, but we're not necessarily creating this backlog of research and critical theory on the medium. Because honestly, for the last 30 years, everybody's just been fighting to get any legitimacy at all, right?
Right. And legitimizing it in the classroom is building a foundation for the future.
Absolutely. I think that's really cool. So how did you find your artist? I imagine that
I found my artist. She's from SCAD, and her name is Rachel Bowman. You can find her on Facebook or you can just Google her and find her artist page as well. She's really talented. But I was fortunate enough to find her right after she graduated, and I really loved her. If you look at my book, she kind of has
really
a steampunk style, yet realistic style.
Yeah.
And I love that mix for the classroom. So
I think it's cool because looking through it really quickly, she brings sort of a fun to it while she's clearly still educating you. And so by comparison to, Scott McCloud, who, again, I adore, it's a very minimalist style, right? He's trying to rip as much out of the page so that he can talk about how the page works.
Yes.
Whereas you're still entertaining and still like, hey, if a kid picks this up or if this is being used to teach a kid, they're going to still enjoy what they're reading, but they're going to learn from it as they go. I think it's a fantastic strategy.
Well, in the book, I made a point, especially in teaching reading comprehension with graphic text, the graphic novel about teaching graphic novels, I talked to Rachel, the artist, in the text and ask her questions, and we interact, and we also interact with the reader and have them write things down and interact with what we're doing in the graphic novel about teaching graphic novels. So I had it was the most fun book I've ever written, but it was also the most challenging because I wanted it to be good, and I think it's good, and if other people don't, that's great, that's fine, but I'm really proud of it.
I think it's an awesome, like, when you handed it to me, I was like, this is awesome. Like, this is really impressive just off the bat. How do people find you online? How do they support you? Where do they go?
I'm on Facebook. My name is Katie, K-A-T-I-E, M-O-N-N-I-N, is my last name, Monin. You can Facebook me up. You can Google me. You can find me on Amazon and do my author page on Amazon and just take your pick of any of the books you like. And also, if you don't like mine, it'll suggest my friends who are also working in the area or in this research area, and you can try out their books as well.
Dr. Monin, I think this is a really cool thing. I'm so glad that you came by.
Thank you.
This is really exciting to get to talk to you. So good luck. I think it's really cool. And I have a 4-year-old niece. She might, get a stack of these for her birthday next year.
Awesome. And if you have that 4-year-old niece, check out toonbooks.com.
Okay, cool. I will totally do that.
Yeah, because Francois and Art are doing a fabulous job with that. And they have been winning all kinds of awards since they started it, I believe, about 6 or 8 years ago. So it's just taken off like a rocket.
That's fantastic. This is so exciting. Cool. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this exclusive interview from Real Nerds Podcast at Denver Comic Con 2016. I'd like to thank Denver Comic Con and Pop Culture Classroom for giving us this opportunity. Thanks. Bye. Real Nerds is a Nebulous Visions multimedia production. We would also like to thank Sparks Mandrill for our music. Additional music from Ben Sounds. Thank you to Alamo Drafthouse. Thank you to Colorado Coins, Cards, and Comics. And thank you for listening to the Real Nerds Podcast.